The audible of the best in Bitcoin. This is the Cryptoconomy. What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Cryptoconomy with Guy Swan. That is me, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And I have a awesome announcement today. Not only do we have a quick read from the blog over at Swan Bitcoin, but they've actually decided to support the podcast. Corey reached out to me. I've been talking with a lot of the guys from that team for a very long time. I've been working with Brady from Citizen Bitcoin is over there. Corey Clipston is over there. Jan Pritzker. I know a number of them are listeners to the show. Brady's a patron, so he hangs out with us in the Cryptoconomy crew. I mean, they have assembled an awesome team of hardcore Bitcoiners. So I could not have been more happier that they actually reached out to support the podcast. They're going to keep the best in Bitcoin coming at you in audio. And what's funny is I actually had one of their blog posts from late February in my lineup, and I figured what a better opportunity to just kind of scoot that forward and read it today. This one is written by their founder and CEO, Corey Clipston, and it's titled, 10 Million Bitcoiners, the Intransigent Minority. Not too many years from now, the number of Bitcoiners in the United States of America will cross 10 million. When we hit that milestone, it's game over. Bitcoin wins. My favorite writer and thinker, Nassim Nicholas Taleb, wrote about the intransigent minority in his book Skin in the Game. Here's the concept at work. Almost every packaged food product for sale in the U.S. has a tiny U inside a circle printed outside. Very few U.S. residents require the kosher certification indicated by that U, but it's easier for food companies not to have to make two separate lines for every product, so they generally make everything kosher. The rule, per Taleb, quote, "A kosher eater will never eat non-kosher food, but a non-kosher eater isn't banned from eating kosher." For most observed complex systems, the minority contingent required to flip a population to comply with their intransigent view is in the 3-4% range. With the U.S. population of 325 million, 3% is 10 million. A fintech fund that's been in the Bitcoin space since 2012 recently ran intense analysis, resulting in the best estimate I've seen for Bitcoin ownership. Just 7 million people globally are storing $100 of value or more in the Bitcoin protocol. For round numbers, let's assume half of these people are in the U.S., and that 1/7 of those are above a more significant threshold like $2,500. That's just 500,000 U.S. citizens with a meaningful amount of Bitcoin. And of those, what percentage actually understand and care about Bitcoin to the point where they would fight for it? Let's be generous and say 20%. There are approximately 100,000 Bitcoiners in the United States. This means that just to get to the intransigent minority levels, we need a 100x increase. This is why adoption dominates all other priorities for Bitcoin. Another concept that Taleb references throughout the five volumes in his Incerto is protect your downside. Bitcoiners have already knocked out so many potential attack vectors and handled so much FUD that there's not much downside risk left for Bitcoin. But there is some, whether you handicap it at sub 1%, sub 10%, or more. And by far, the most threatening attack vector, in my opinion, would be a concerted effort of the U.S. government at many levels attempting to stamp out Bitcoin in an effort to maintain dollar hegemony across the globe. Let's be clear. Bitcoin would survive even the most concerted and vicious attack by the U.S. government. It might even thrive, anti-fragile style, another Taleb book, with people around the globe snapping up sats en masse as they witness the erstwhile hegemon lash out. But it could also play out differently, with a massive drop in network activity and value, thousands of individual lives irreparably disrupted, and the delay of our bright orange future by decades or longer. This, to me, is unacceptable. This is why I have dedicated my life to recruiting the other 99% of our intransigent Bitcoiner minority here in the United States. There are 100,000 of us already. Help us recruit the other 9.9 million. All right, and that'll do it. That's a short, quick read from the swanbitcoin.com blog, and again written by Corey Clipston. All right, so this is where I usually go into my recorded ad for Anchor and our sponsor. And our sponsor today is technically Swan Bitcoin. Now, I just kind of want to talk about my philosophy real quick before we dig back into the article about, I've turned down a handful of people who have reached out to sponsor the show. I'll still get one every couple of weeks from somebody, some shitcoiner or for some little trading thing. I don't take it lightly that I'm encouraging you guys to go use a service. You know, like the last thing I want to do, like I'll just take a whole nother year of losing money than shill something that I think is garbage or that I think is going to put you guys in like danger, like put you guys at risk of losing Bitcoin. So this is why I'm super excited about Swan Bitcoin is because like I'm not worried about, like I'm going to be using the hell out of this service myself. And it's going to be really easy to shill you guys something that I'm going to be using constantly. But if you don't know, this is a service that Bitcoin has desperately needed for a very long time. Coinbase used to have this, and I don't know why they stopped it. Of course, Coinbase is like now just telling you to buy shitcoins. So I don't like them just kind of philosophically. There's a lot of problems I got with Coinbase these days. I've stopped using them since probably 2017, I think. But Swan Bitcoin is, like I said, built by a handful of like crazy awesome hardcore Bitcoiners. And it's just to fix the savings problem, to get a auto-buy, simple-ass way to constantly be stacking sats, to just get your Bitcoin every week, every paycheck, every month, whatever it is, and just stop thinking about it. Just stop caring about the price because you're always stacking sats. You're just every week, you are buying and storing the digital hardest money in the world, you know, like you're investing in Bitcoin in the long term game, the way Bitcoin is meant to be used. You have no idea how badly I wish that service had existed in 2011, 2012, 2013, all the years when I could have been just calmly and responsibly stacking sats instead of trying to trade and losing my ass in, you know, wanting to get it in at a little bit lower price and then watching it triple in a matter of weeks. So that's the reason why I have no problem telling you guys to use the service. I would be doing this anyway, whether or not they were supporting the show, and that they reached out, and I know these guys personally, just such an easy fit. And I know these guys are part of the philosophy. They are in this for the long haul. So thank you to them, and highly recommend you guys using swanbitcoin.com for their service. Okay, so that was sort of like a long ad, but it's just like I just want to tell you guys why I'm not just shilling for somebody because they're supporting the show. I take this very seriously. So I hope you guys understand that. All right, so let's talk about the intransigent minority. I love if you have not listened to Nassim Nicholas Taleb's work. I'm actually going back through Anti-Fragile right now. I'm about a fourth of the way through it. I just kind of listening to it casually because it's just that good. And Skin in the Game is great. When I first listened to Skin in the Game, warning, Nicholas... Nassim can be a little bit abrasive. He's kind of arrogant and aggressive about his opinion. And when I first started listening to it, I was like, damn, this guy's like really harsh. And then about halfway through it, he's like, man, he's got some really, really good points. And then at the end, I was like, yeah, I think he's right. But it's a wonderful book. And the intransigent minority, the intolerant minority, this concept that he talks about is one of the most fascinating things. And that's why I was immediately like, ooh, I'm going to have to grab this piece on the show. Because it's sort of this asymmetric bet, in a sense. It's this asymmetric trade-off of having a small group of people, a minority of people, who are absolutely dead set on one solution or one... they're just incredibly intolerant about their options and about not basically giving any ground. And that's what Bitcoin maximalism is. That's why Brady has talked about this a couple of times in the past, and I know I've brought it up before, but that, like, kind of the Bitcoin maximalist idea, the idea that Bitcoiners are the true Bitcoiners, like the true sound monetarists, is that they only accept Bitcoin. Is that shitcoins are just gambling and they're just random tokens. But the one thing that everybody is accepting, and the one thing that everybody knows is a staple, a reserve asset for this entire space, is Bitcoin. And Bitcoin maximalists will not accept anything but Bitcoin. But all the shitcoiners will accept their shitcoin and Bitcoin. And that's the dichotomy. That's the huge difference in the structure of things. You can't be successful in the crypto space right now unless you are also invested in Bitcoin, because of that intransigent, that intolerant minority. And Corey uses the example of the kosher, which is, you know, in Taleb, like, kind of expands on in the book, is that, you know, like, most people who are like non-kosher or don't care about kosher also don't really care if it is kosher. So there's no reason for, if there is 3%, 4% of the population that cares deeply about being kosher, about their food being kosher, and will not buy it because of that. But everybody else is just like, well, I can eat kosher, I could eat not kosher. I don't really care. I don't even know what the U means. I didn't know that until I read the book. And Corey, refresh my memory here. But if everybody else is just like, who cares? Well, then why not make all of our products kosher? And so Corey kind of does some back-of-the-napkin math here from the from some analysis done on, like, estimates on how many people own Bitcoin and how many might be in the U.S., and really kind of gets down to the heart of how many Bitcoiners, like true Bitcoiners, there are in the United States. And this, see, he has a really good point here of that as to why adoption really is an important thing. And because no matter what, if there are enough people that would be pissed off, that would be hurt by, like, incredibly draconian or destructive regulation and rules around Bitcoin, if there are enough of us, then there is only so much they can do. Because the vast majority of the population are always followers. After the intolerant minority makes waves, after the Bitcoiners really push the change in the world, they'll come out the other side going, yeah, I always thought that. Yeah, I'm a Bitcoiner too. They were always just going with what prevented conflict in their social circles, that just allowed them to fit in. Most people don't like making waves. That's not us. That's not Bitcoiners. We are wave makers. We try to work. We make the waves bigger when we see them coming. And I just really like that Corey has, and he's, you know, kind of made it part of his business strategy too. Well, I mean, obviously he has. This is on his blog. But that there's a clear number to work for. You know, like, it's like a clear target makes a big difference. I don't think that's so easy to just dismiss as, you know, whatever. Like, okay, we could get 10 million Bitcoiners, we get a million Bitcoiners, we just want more Bitcoiners. I like having a clear target to work towards, and to think that, you know, we could really push the needle. If we could each help make another Bitcoiner, how long until we reach that 10 million mark in the United States and we become a strong enough social force that everyone else accepts Bitcoin by default. That Bitcoin becomes the money because everybody else will just accept whatever's socially acceptable, and we will only accept sound money, and we will not tolerate anything less. Now, I kind of share his worry, you know, like if we don't get there, if they kind of like really push hard to crack down on Bitcoin or to make it near impossible or so unbelievably difficult to use or transact or a save in Bitcoin, like taxes just become nightmarish, that it really could cause a problem. And, you know, he's like, you know, that's unacceptable. We won't allow that to happen. And we do have a window of opportunity. So it hasn't happened yet. So if it is a possibility, the faster we work and the more dedicated we are, the less likely it is to happen. But, you know, we have knocked out a ton of FUD. Bitcoin is anti-fragile. Again, got to recommend that book. I'm listening to it again and hearing all these little gold nuggets and stuff that I had forgotten and being refreshed by it. So if you haven't read any of Taleb's stuff, highly recommended. But Bitcoin thrives on chaos. It gets stronger and more secure. It gets healthier when things are contesting it, when it's being attacked, when volatility lands, when the unexpected happens. It gets stronger and better and survives more. It's like Andreas has the great concept of, or talks about the, what is it called? The bubble boy and the sewer rat, is that the sewer rat is indestructible. It can survive any bacteria or virus or anything because it's been constantly tested. It is anti-fragile. But the bubble boy, as soon as you poke a hole in his bubble, he's dead. He's dead from the first bacteria that he touches because his immune system has never been able to be tested against anything. He's developed in a safe, cozy environment. And that's what Taleb talks about in Anti-Fragile, is that in an anti-fragile thing is actually made weaker when it's not attacked. Just like if we were all just sitting in bed for months and months on end, and eating the same food and not being exposed to anything, we would atrophy. We would get weaker. So it's actually probably a really good thing that Bitcoin exists decentralized in the wild and that it has many enemies, because it will become stronger for that indefinitely. But hopefully with all this coronavirus and scare of economic collapse and everything, they'll be too busy, you know, I don't know, cutting payroll taxes or lowering interest rates and all this stuff to worry themselves with Bitcoin. Hopefully we'll get a window into seeing exactly what Bitcoin looks like when it survives an economic crisis. We've never dealt with this before, you know? Like we have seen Bitcoin through one of the biggest stock market bull runs, not an economic bull run. Productivity has been low, earnings have been garbage, but a stock market bull run, a bubble, for 10 years. Like Bitcoin was birthed in the worst of the recession, and now it's basically had an environment of just cheap money, of easy, cheap money, and, you know, bullish frivolity in all the money and investment markets. So this will actually be a first for Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is built for exactly this sort of thing. It is anti-fragile. It is that which will shine strongest when things are the worst. And it will be very interesting to see. And, you know, maybe with my Swan Bitcoin auto buy, maybe I'll get to buy Bitcoin at exceptionally low prices. I'm not going to hold my breath, but I am really excited about this service to get right back into with this business, like, you know, bringing in capital and stuff. I'm going to be stacking the hell out of Bitcoin every single week. If they make it available to do it every day, I might do it. Who knows? We'll see. JC has actually been doing that in the crypto economy crew. He's been showing that he's like buying like a dollar of Bitcoin like every single day and moving it to his Lightning wallet. So that's been hilarious. And he's like showing like the prices that he's been buying it at. And they're like all over the place. It ranges from like $7,500 to like $9,300 in just like a period of 2 weeks. That's how it's done. And I'm so happy that this service is finally going to be available to me. And of course, that they are lovely enough to support the Audible of the Bitcoin space. So thank you to Swan Bitcoin. Great short little piece about the intransigent minority by Corey. Check out the blog. And yes, they have a referral thing. Dude, if you guys are looking for $5 of free sound money, you can get that with Swan Bitcoin. And actually, I have got like a couple of referrals already. My little referral record. I've got 11 referrals so far. I am ranked 205. Guys, A, you're getting free sound money. So this is easy. You get $5 of sats just for using my referral link. I'm posting this in the show notes and in the Twitter post. So it should be easy to find. And you're supporting the show because you're giving me free $5 in sats. And you make my rank look boss because Guy Swan, dude, guys, think about this. Guy Swan as the top referral to Swan Bitcoin. This is a match made in heaven. Let's do this. All right, I'm out for today. Thank you guys for listening. Another huge thank you to the Swan Bitcoin crew. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. Don't forget to subscribe to the Crypto Economy. Share this out with everybody you know. Snag that referral link in the show notes and in the Twitter post to get your $5 of free sats from Swan Bitcoin. And I'll catch you guys back here tomorrow with another episode of the show. Till then, take it easy, guys.